This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does Pat Mahomes negotiating mean anything for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott? Good morning, Metroplex. Sean and RJ on your home of America's team. And on the line right now, radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podfriest podcast series available on radio.com/Dell. Michael, well, I'll ask you that question to start off. Was yesterday's news that Mahomes is negotiating with the Chiefs bad news for Jerry and Stephen Jones?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, look, let's face it. Everybody knows Patrick Mahomes is going to be the highest paid player in the National Football League. He's going to set the bar. And if Todd France thinks he's going to get near that bar, he's going to wait a long time. And so I think the Deshaun Watson contract is also in play here. I think what's going on is it's a trifecta, right? So you've got Mahomes needs a deal. Watson's going to get a new deal. They all have different agents. And the agents play the competitive game as well, right? They don't want to do a deal. Todd Francis want to do a deal for Dak Prescott that 2 weeks later looks a lot less than the deal he just did. So there's a little bit of that in play.
Michael, is there a point here where the Cowboys say, you know what, Dak, enough is enough? Like, you know, we've tried to offer you 35. Maybe we're offering you 37. But if this thing gets into the 40s, you're not that good. You're not a great or elite quarterback. I know we need a quarterback, but we may just have to say goodbye. Is there a point where that happens, Mike?
Well, I think it is. And I think here you have to kind of ponder this a little bit. So we're going to have football this year, we hope, right?
Yeah,
we're not going to have fans. I wrote about this for The Athletic today, and I think this affects Dak Prescott tremendously. I think it affects every team tremendously. So we're not going to have fans. The owners are saying that could be a $500 million loss to them. Now, the owners are not acting in this game alone. They're partners with the players. So the cap next year could easily be 25, 30 million less than it is currently right now, because we're going to have to take the $500 million revenue that's not coming in out. So how does that work? How is that going to work? You know, how is that going to play to these cap numbers? The Cowboys, if you look at next year's cap, they have $35 million available to them right now. And if the cap goes down, that becomes a problem. So there's a lot of teams that have to really weigh their odds, weigh what they're doing, and see how it actually plays out. Because at the end of the day, the cap will go down next year. No one's talking about it, but it will.
Does another team, other than the Cowboys, if Dak Prescott hits free agency, do you think someone pays him $37 to $40 million, or do you think we value him more here with the Cowboys than other markets and other cities?
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a question first. Would you trade Dak Prescott for Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Okay, Russell Wilson's at 35. Why am I going to pay Dak more than Russell Wilson? I mean, why would I do that? I mean, Todd France is playing the game that he knows he's getting more money. He knows his player isn't in the same conversation as Watson and Mahomes. He knows this, but yet he can get his leverage up by being in the conversation, by pretending he's in there. He's not better than Russell Wilson. You would not. There's no way. Seattle would hang up the phone and say no way. So the reality of it is he's benefiting by the market. And if the market next year goes down by the cap number, then all of a sudden people's appetite to pay Dak Prescott $40 million become a lot less because they've got cap concerns.
But, Michael, unfortunately, and I agree with you, I've been against, you know, the Dak versus Russell comparisons. But, unfortunately, that isn't the way it works in the NFL, right? At quarterback, it's next man up. It's you don't have an option to replace me, so you're going to pay me what I want you to pay me. Dak has all the leverage here.
Well, so, yeah, you could say that, but that's not how you run a team. I mean, let's face it, Dak may have the leverage, but, you know, Jared Goff, why would you overpay him? When you overpay a player, it costs you other areas. And what I'm saying is as the storm brews outside because of this cap, because of the salary cap issues next year, because of the virus, you've got to be really careful about what you're thinking about doing in the long term, or you're going to be in cap jail much like the Los Angeles Rams are right now.
Michael Lombardi, Radio.com, NFL Insider, joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. I understand what you're saying about the cap potentially going down, but let's just say it continues to go up every year by the $10 million that it's gone up. At that point, doesn't it become...
You can't say that. You can't say that. There's nobody going to be in the... There's going to be lost revenue. Every league is... We can't live in that dream world. Every league is going to lose revenue. Beer sales, ticket sales, suite sales. That's lost revenue. And it's going... And when you're a partner with somebody... You share in lost revenue.
Look, I understand what you're saying, but eventually, over the term of the fourth year of a four-year deal, it may go down 1 year, but it'll go up for the other three, right? Theoretically?
It certainly has a chance to recover, but I don't think the recovery is going to be an arrow up. I don't think it's going to be a V. I think the recovery is going to be more like a U. It's going to take a little bit of time. Until we get a vaccine, until we get some form of testing to where we feel really comfortable, we know this from Italy, that stadiums are melting pots for this to develop, that we realize that. And so the more people we put into a stadium, the more risk we have if we don't have a vaccine, if we don't have a treatment.
Michael, as a former GM, what's the bigger fear? Paying someone like Dak too much money or not having a quarterback of Dak's caliber and going with something worse?
Well, I think that to me, and I've said this many times, I would have paid Sean McVay $25 million before I paid Jared Goff $35 million. You got to have somebody who can develop a quarterback. You got to have somebody who can develop a quarterback. And we'll see if the Patriots can do that this year with Jared Stidham. We'll see if the Patriots can develop a quarterback and be able to win football games with the guy they picked in the fourth round. I think that's the essence of the game. You can't pay everybody $50 million. Look, Mahomes is going to get his number. How far over 35, that remains to be seen. Does he go to 40? Does he go to 42? Does he go to 43? I don't know. The same thing with Deshaun Watson. But you've got to really be – there's got to be a point where you say, you know what, as an organization, we're going to have to find another solution. And it happens. I mean, look, it's there. We see it all the time. People have a hard time evaluating quarterbacks. The worst thing you can do in any sport is become prisoner to one player, and then you lose your team. Because at the end of the day, Dak needs a lot of help around him to be a great player.
If Dak is an elite quarterback or borderline elite, though, is there such a thing as overpaying Patrick Mahomes?
No, there's not. I think you're right. You can't overpay greatness. But at some point, you have to understand that you can't have all the money. You can't have all the money. I mean, Peyton Manning, when he went through, he took a lot of the money. They had a lot of players on the team, but their depth. I mean, how many Super Bowls did they win in Indianapolis?
One,
right. Why did that? Well, they say, Phil Bowley will tell you because the rules, it limited, the receivers were getting jammed. Their depth on defense was always problematic. They had five or six really good players. But at the end of the day, football's a team sport. It's a game of having depth. You've got to be able to have depth. And if you don't have any depth and you don't have the ability to play with 40 guys that can help you win, it's hard to do. You can't be too young. You can't have a bunch of rookies on your team. You do need a middle class in the NFL.
Do you put Dak in the category of good, very good, potentially great? What is your category for Dak?
I've always felt Dak's really a good player. I think he's a very good player. I think they utilize his foot and movement. I think they've got to do that. I think he's a great, tough guy. I think he plays hurt. I think this whole nonsense about signing Andy Dalton as an insult to Dak Prescott is completely one of the biggest jokes in media I've ever heard in my life. They signed Andy Dalton because Kellen Moore can't play. They signed Andy Dalton because last year when they went to Philadelphia and Dak was hurt and probably shouldn't have played, They lost a game that could have got them into the playoffs when they were could have been a better team. They signed Andy Dalton for the franchise, not as an insult to Dak. It's almost ridiculous that anybody would suggest the other worst.
Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, right here on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Who right now today would be your favorite in the division, Mike? Who would you like in the NFC East?
I mean, I like the Cowboys a lot. I think the Cowboys, I think Mike McCarthy. Look, the Cowboys were 31st in the National Football League with the clapper in terms of winning close games. They could not win a close game. It's been the history of it since Jason was the head coach there. So that's been a problem. Secondly, when you go back and look at the special teams and the lack of attention to detail within the kicking game, you know, people dismiss the kicking game like it's meaningless. Only the greatest coach of all time in New England thinks it's the most important. Something's wrong with this pitcher. They were 31st in most every single category in terms of special teams last year. I think John Fossil will make a huge upgrade over what they do. They've got three magnificent receivers that they put out on the field. I think Dak's a really good player. They got one of the best players in the backfield in Zeke Elliott, and their offensive line's good. I think the key to their team is Jim Tomasula. I think Tomasula, the defensive line coach, will make a huge difference. I think Randy Gregory, when he comes back, or Alden Smith, or any of the defensive linemen that they've signed, whether it's McCoy, whomever, I think he's going to make a huge difference, because when you watch his Washington Redskins defensive front, or you watch what he did when he was in San Francisco, this guy gets the most out of players in the defensive line. And I think when you watch the Cowboys last year, whenever they could play less than 30 minutes of defense, they were really a good defense. When they had to play more, it became a problem. And I think if they tie those loose ends together, I think McCarthy takes a lot of crap for being too conservative on offense, but yet no one really understands what he was dealing with in Green Bay. I think the Cowboys are the best team in the East.
When you look at Alden Smith, because we've gone back and forth what to expect from him. You know, he's heavier, he's older. That usually doesn't really translate to faster, but how do you kind of evaluate a player who hasn't played in nearly half a decade and what you can actually expect from him?
Well, what I would expect from Alden Smith is, look, I don't want you to be everything to everybody. I want you to be able to go out there in the 20 plays, we've got to have it. The 20 plays, we've got to rush the passer. You've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to play that role. You're a sixth man in basketball. You're going to play X amount of plays. You're going to rush the passer. I'm going to match you up against the worst tackle of the teams we're playing against, and you're going to win. You're going to dominate. You're going to get not. I'm not going to judge you by sacks. I'm going to judge you by pressures. Pressures matter more than anything. Pressures create turnovers. Pressures create mistakes. And I'm going to match him up on the left tackle. Let's see. You know, we'll go into Philadelphia and we'll see if Dillard can block him. We'll see what happens. When we've got to get Carson Wentz on the ground, when it's 3rd and 8 in the third quarter or 3rd and 10 in the fourth quarter, you got to make those plays.
Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, joining us through radio.com here on 105.3 The Fan. Michael, what do you make of all the Jamal Adams rumors? And if you're the Cowboys, do you try to make that deal?
Well, I think, look, here's the problem. You know, again, we go back to the cap. I mean, you're going to have to give up a lot of assets to then have the right to pay Jamal Adams a lot of money. I think Jamal Adams is a fabulous player, but I wrote about it in my book, Gridiron Genius. What Jamal Adams brings to the table, the league is ruling against, that physical intimidation in the middle of the field. It's hard to get. I thought Greg Williams did a tremendous job with him last year, played him in the box. He attacked the protections. He had a lot of free blitzes because of scheme. He's a good player. He's not a man-to-man cover guy. There's no way you're lining him up on the slot. If you're in base defense and the opponents come out in three receivers, he's not covering the inside slot receiver. That's a matchup problem. So you got to be careful how you utilize him. But he can attack the pocket. He can play the run. He's physical. He's tough. He adds to the defense. How much do I want to spend for that? Well, if I got to spend $40 million for my quarterback, do I have the luxury to spend $12, $13 million for a safety that doesn't cover? I think that would be a problem.
Should we be worried about Jason Garrett tutoring Daniel Jones with the Giants?
Worried as a Cowboy fan or excited about it as a Cowboy fan? How do you want me to take that?
Should we be excited?
You know, Jason has this reputation of being a guru, right? And I've never seen the Rue in the guru, right? So I'm anxious to see when he has a chance to call plays and install an offense. Look, here's what we do know. He's going to run Norv Turner's offense. It's going to be the same offense that Norv has run for a while, and he's going to have to make adjustments to it. He's going to have to figure it out. He's kind of believing in his ways of what he wants to run. We'll see if that works out. I think this is a great palette for Jason to paint on, to show people, hey, I really am a great offensive coach, and I could show you my skills. If he can do that, then I think certainly with his head coaching experience, it helps him as a marketable guy. But I don't know if Daniel Jones in the North Turner system of offense that Jason Garrett wants to run is ideal for him. There's protections issue that come along with it. You're going to have to be able to handle it. And Daniel Jones doesn't handle the football in the pocket very well. That's one of the big things about him last year. Turned it over, loose with the ball, made too many mistakes.
Michael, you're a Belichick guy. You're tied to Bill Belichick along with Bill Walsh and Al Davis and, you know, some of the greats. Are you surprised that Jason Garrett, the perception is that guys like Nick Saban, Belichick, Joe Judge is a part of that tree, sign off on Jason Garrett when everyone listening, and me included, kill him for what he did here?
Well, I think there's a professional, it's a little bit like coaches are like being in the doctor business. You never hear another doctor rip another doctor, do you?
No.
It's a little bit the same way. I mean, you know, I think for me, working on VSiN and doing the shows that I do, you know, I'm an analyst. So being part of an analyst, you've got to weigh the value of what the coach brings to the table. I don't have anything against Jason. I just was often wondering. The reason I nicknamed him the Clapper is because I wasn't sure what he was doing on game day. He wasn't doing anything in the kicking game. He wasn't calling defenses, or he wasn't calling offenses. So I wasn't sure what he brought to the table. Now, a lot of people say he's a great motivator, all that. I think that's great. But I think at some point your team has to adopt your personality as a head coach.
All right, so finally, for the record, if you were the Cowboys GM with Dak, you're drawing the line at 35. If he and the agent ask for more, we're moving on, correct?
Well, I think it all, you know, that's an easy question to ask. It's a hard one to answer because what does the 35 look like? If it's 35 and 45 million are in the last year of the deal and I get 5 years, you know, maybe I consider it. If it's 40 and you count the last year at 50 million and it's really a phony number, you know, what is it? I mean, it's really about what's the three-year number and how much guarantee am I going to get? If the three-year number is $35 million and I've got to pay 70, 80% of that guaranteed, I'd do the deal tomorrow.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.